Let's get into the Word of God. Today we're going to be looking at the parable of the wise and foolish builder. Probably a story or a version of the story you've heard before, but we're going to look at the words of Jesus and see what he says, and we're going to let it speak to us today. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. You can follow along in the YouVersion Bible app. Welcome online. If you're on YouTube or Facebook, we welcome you. You're part of the family. You're in the, even if you're not here with us physically, you're with us in spirit, wherever you are. We're so grateful to have everybody, whether you're in the building or online with us today. Here we go. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, 27 says this. Says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. Verse 26 says, but anyone who hears my teaching, and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this time. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak to each and every one of our hearts today. God, let us hear precisely what you want to say this morning. Lord, I pray that beyond just hearing what your word just plainly says on the text, Lord, I pray that we will have an encounter and a moment with you. I pray, Jesus, that you will, through the power of the Holy Spirit, speak to us individually, God, what we need to hear today. God, those that need a word of encouragement, Lord, I thank you that you will speak that to us. And I pray that, God, those that need a word of correction, I pray that you will speak that to us. Those that need to hear your voice, give us direction. Lord, I pray that you would speak that to us. Lord, I pray that we would not hear it from Justin Bradley. Don't let anyone hear it from me. Lord, let us hear from you as we look at your word together today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Everybody put your hand on your belly. Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you call me to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So just about a month ago, my wife had a birthday, and her grandfather had made the most unbelievable present. It was really thoughtful because all the times we visited her grandfather's house, grandma's house for Easter dinner or whatever times we go over there, she's always admired their bird feeder and their little garden they have out there and all the birds that come out. And so her grandfather actually called me one day, which is odd because they never call me. And I'm like, oh, okay. So anyway, I'll take the call, see what's up. And so he said, hey, I'm going to build a bird. I'm building a birdhouse for Luann for her birthday. And I want to know if it's, you can, whenever. So he said, I want to dig a hole, you know, put it in the ground, whatever. So the day, so it was awesome. He built it from scratch. Great guy, man. Awesome. Brings it over in his pickup truck, gives me a call. He says, hey, I'm going to come over. We get it set in. So he pulls the truck into the yard where we're going to put the birdhouse. And he built this big birdhouse. I mean, it takes up, it's like 8 foot, 10 foot tall. I don't know. Takes up his whole truck bed. And I'm like, so I'm out there. Now, he is like 140 years old. I don't know how old. He's really old. He's up there. And so I'm like, let me get out there and help you. And so I hop him in the truck to get the birdhouse out. This is so funny. He goes, are you sure you can pick that up? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I deadlift 550 pounds. Like, of course I can pick this thing up. And I began to pick it up, and I was like, ugh. I was like, no, you better get this, Carol. No, I'm just kidding. I picked it up, no big deal. He was like, oh, I didn't. I was like, well, listen, I know I'm not a young man compared to something, but I'm a young man compared to you, sir. So anyway, we picked it up. We get it. He pulls out some post hole diggers, right? And so we start. He's like, we got to dig a hole to set it down. I'm like, okay, cool. So obviously, I've got to dig this hole. So I've never used post hole diggers before. I don't even know if I did it right or not, but we got it in. Anyway, I started digging a hole, right? Anybody ever used post hole diggers before? We know what I'm talking about, those little clampy things. So, oh, you guys have all used them before. This is the first time for me. So I'm using a post hole digger. I'm digging this hole. I go get it down a little bit, and I start getting this hole. I'm like, is that enough? Is that good enough? And he said, no, we got to go deeper. So I start digging again. It's sun's starting to beat down, starting to get hot, and pulling out dirt, putting it in a pile. I'm like, are we good? That's pretty deep, right? And he's like, nah, we got to go a little deeper. I'm like, okay. All right, man. Start digging a few more, get a few more deeper. I'm like, all right, come on, man. We're way out in there. He pulls out a tape measure. He's like, we got to go 6 feet. We got to do a 6 foot hole. That's how deep we got to go. I'm like, 6 foot. I was like, what's the measure? He actually brought a tape measure. I guess he didn't think I had any. Good chance I didn't. pulls out a tape measure, measures it. We're like 2.5 feet down, and I'm sweating. I'm like, you know what? Here, old man, you can dig your own hole. I don't know. I'm just kidding. So we got it all. But my point is this. We had to dig that hole to make sure that it got deep enough that we packed it back in. The wind's not going to knock it over. The wind's not going to blow it over. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about in this parable. What Jesus is sharing in the parable of the wise and foolish builders is this principle and this idea, listen, that before I build up, I've got to dig down. Before I build high, I've got to be willing to dig deep. Amen, somebody? And this is what Jesus shares. He says, listen, it is a foolish person that builds a big house and doesn't take the time to dig deep and build a solid foundation for the big thing that you're wanting to build in your life upon. And this is what's amazing. If you really read Matthew chapter 5-7, this is Jesus' mic drop to what we call the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount begins with what we call the Beatitudes. And in the Beatitudes, Jesus, over the next two chapters. In fact, if you only had two chapters of the Bible to show you and to teach you everything that Jesus said about what it looks like to follow him, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 basically lays out in very practical ways what it's going to mean to follow Jesus. And what Jesus, this is his first real big public teaching of his ministry, and it really kicks off his 3.5-year ministry before he goes to the cross. And what Jesus does in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is he completely tears down the old religion, the old religious house that Judaism had built and that the Pharisees had built. And he starts with the roof. He says, if you want the blessings of God in your life, Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, blessed are those, blessed are those. You guys know what I'm talking about. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who seek the kingdom. Blessed are those who, and he gives several, that's the roof, the blessing, where God shows up from heaven. He tears that off and said, this is what that looks like. And then in the rest of the few chapters, he's kicking down the walls on everything from prayer and giving and fasting to marriage to divorce to adultery to raising kids to be, everything gets hit. And he tears all the old concepts and all the old ideas of what religion had been teaching people for so long and got twisted and got jacked up, and man, we put our hands on it and we tried to make it something that we wanted to and got away from the heart of God. And Jesus is starting all over, and he spends Matthew 5, 6 and even all of 7 tearing down the house. And then what he's doing, he gets it all down, knocks all the walls down, gets all the way down to the foundation. And in his mic drop, he's basically saying, listen, if you want to rebuild what I've just torn down, you're going to have to start with the right foundation, and the right foundation is me. Boom, that's it. Do it or don't do it, I'm out. Mic drop. Point Jesus. That's what he's doing here. He's talking about resetting the foundation. And there are a couple things you need to understand about this parable that is really important. The first is this. You can't miss this. This can't be understated, and it can't be overstated. Both houses look the same till the storm comes. Both houses look a whole lot alike until the wind blows. Both houses look like they're well built and well taken care of until the floods rise. And it's not until the wind blows, and it's not until the ground shakes, and it's not until the waters come, and it's not until the storm surges, and it's not until the floods rise that you begin to see the differences in the house. And I tell you what, some of you right now, after going through what we've all gone through in this world in the last going on year and a half, 2 years now almost, getting into the second year of where we are, just all kind, not just, turmoil and shaking and upheaval on every level. Some of us have seen in real uncertain terms, or real certain terms rather, houses that were built on good foundations and houses that were built on garbage ones. Amen? In fact, there may be some things in your life that you were surprised by, that when the wind came and as the ground shook and as the floods and the lightning flashed around your house, some of you might have some things that have been demolished over the last few months, over this last season, that you thought was strong and that you thought was sturdy, and all of a sudden it's not there. You realize that, man, that wasn't as strong, that wasn't as laid out, that wasn't as well thought out as it was, as I thought it was. There may be some people who you thought were giants of the faith and who were just lovers of God, and all of a sudden they've fallen away. But when the storms come, you're like, man, I can't believe that person didn't make it. I can't believe that business didn't make it. I can't believe this house didn't make it. And on the flip side of that, some of y'all didn't know how strong you were until the floods came. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all didn't realize what you were made of until the storm showed up. There's some of you guys over the last year or year and a half or 2 years that, man, you went through life thinking you were some weak little person who couldn't ever make it. But all of a sudden, over the last few months, some storms have shown up and some wind has blown and some lightning has flashed. And you thought for sure you were going to crumble. But somehow, by the grace of God, you're still here. You're still standing. Him. You're still seeking God. You're still serving God. You didn't know how strong you were until the storm came. I'm trying to say, listen, everything looks the same until the storm comes. I can't judge how strong something is. I cannot base my opinion on how great someone's foundation is until the storm comes. Everything looks the same until the storm comes. And here's what you need to understand. Listen, I cannot control the strength of the storm, but I can control the strength of my foundation. I have no control over how strong the wind's gonna blow. I have no control over how powerful the flood is going to surge. I have no control about how hard the wind is going to blow. But what I can control is whether or not my life and what I'm building is built upon a foundation that is strong enough to take that storm. Listen to me, friend. It is not your fault that the storm came. But it might be my fault that my foundation couldn't take it. Amen? And if you feel like you're sitting right now this morning, you're wherever you are online right now this morning, and you feel like you're sitting in the wreckage of something you thought would stand the test of time and last forever, and all of a sudden some storms have shown up, and you're sitting there in a mess. Listen. It wasn't your fault the storm came. But I do need to take responsibility and take account and look and go, okay, if I don't want to repeat this, I need to start building on the right foundation. I don't want to just rebuild on the same garbage, junk foundation that couldn't take the storm. If I'm going to rebuild something, I better rebuild it right, and I better get it on the right foundation. Amen? Here's the other thing about these houses. I love that Jesus doesn't get real specific about the houses. He doesn't say one guy built a mansion, one guy built a double wide. Doesn't say one guy built a prefab modular and one guy built a three-bedroom ranch. Or he doesn't get into this. He just says two guys built a house. What is that? That means this, that no matter what house I'm building, it needs to have the right foundation. Amen, somebody? Whether that's a business house that I'm building, whether it's a marriage that I'm building, whether it's a family that I'm building, whether it's a ministry that I'm building, whether it's a literal house that I'm building, whether no matter what it is that I'm building, it if it's going to last and weather the storm, it is going to need the right foundation. And here's the thing, the bigger the house, the bigger the thing, the bigger my vision, the more important the thing that I'm building, the more important the foundation is going to need to be. And the bigger the house that I'm planning to build, the bigger and the bigger the foundation and deeper the foundation is going to have to go. Amen, somebody? Doesn't matter what I'm building, it needs the right foundation. So, big question time. Well, preacher, what is the right foundation? Well, it certainly wasn't religion. That's not what Jesus is talking about at all. He just spent two chapters, and he spent this entire message basically tearing down all the things and challenging and questioning and setting right a lot of the things that were firmly established and thought, well, these are all the good things that God must want me to do. And he was untwisting, unwrapping man's failed and flawed opinion of many of those things in Matthew 5 through 7, okay? That's not what the right foundation is. What's the right foundation? Is it simply believing in Jesus? Is it coming to church? Is it going to Red Life Church? Is it listening to Justin Bradley preach? Or, I mean, all those things are great things. You know what I mean? Especially not the last one too much, but the first couple things we talked about. Listen, none of those things. Reading the Bible every day. Saying the Lord's Prayer every day, praying over my meal, are those the right things? Listen, those all may be right things, and those are all good things, but that's not the core foundation that Jesus is talking about. What is the right foundation? I'll even go this far. Well, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus. The Bible would say in the book of James, the New Testament, the Apostle James, Jesus' brother, actually says, it's good that you believe, but even demons believe. Belief alone is not the foundation. Belief may be the first brick. In fact, it is. But that's not the whole foundation. Jesus says, what is the foundation? Jesus says, the foundation, he says, the wise builder who builds his house on the right foundation is this. The person who hears my words. Does he stop there? Hears my words and puts them into practice. That is the foundation. What is the foundation? Let me sum it up. The foundation is actually doing what Jesus said to do. It's looking back at, again, I don't want to make this too complicated. Well, there's this whole Bible of stuff to do. Listen, I told you, you can simplify this. Go to Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. In fact, here's some homework, Red Life. If you're already at home, you're already at the starting point. Listen, here's some homework for you this week. This week, read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Make that part of your time and ask God to show you some things that you need to not believe, not some things you need to say, not some things you need to pray. Ask God to show you some things you need to do. And you take Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if you just make those statements that Jesus is talking about, the foundation of your faith, that is the right foundation. He's basically said all these things that I just got done. See, this parable is not presented in a microcosm of just a simple statement that Jesus makes. It's part of this other big message that is called the Sermon on the Mount that starts in Matthew chapter 5. And this is his ending saying, hey, I've shown you what to do. I've given you the words. I've given you the instructions. Now, if you want to be wise and build something that can weather the storm, put these words into practice. Begin to rebuild on the right foundation. Everybody say the right foundation. The Message translation of this same text, in that translation, it starts off by saying, it quotes Jesus and it gives a little bit different perspective. It says that these things are not in addition to your life. These things are foundational to your life. See, I think sometimes we think that, well, I believe in Jesus, but everything else he said and all the other stuff, you know, really, those are just additional things. Listen to me, friend. Serving Jesus is not an in addition to in my life. It is the core principle, the core guiding truth of my life. Amen, somebody? A lot of times what we do is we want to treat Jesus like, well, I'm just going to add Jesus to what I'm doing so that way I'll have God's blessing to just help me do all the stuff that I want to do anyway. That's not what it looks like to follow Jesus. Jesus is not an additional thing I add on. Jesus is the core thing that I go through that determines every other decision, every other action, every other thing that I do. It is not an addition. It is not an option. It is foundational. Amen, somebody? You know, you can, when you build a house, you can have a very similar, and in fact, possibly a very almost exact foundation to several homes. But when you get inside, the floor plan can be laid out completely different. Amen? You can walk through one house that has the kitchen over here, and the other house has a kitchen over here, and they got a closet here and not a closet there, and all kinds of different little nooks and crannies, and the stove can be in this one. And those are all the additional things. But if you stripped all that down, you can look at the same and get down to the foundation, it will look very, very, very much the same. Amen, somebody? What is he saying? He's saying, listen, there may be some different things that Jesus calls different of us to do. There may be some different convictions that we hold. There may be different things that Jesus isn't leading everyone to preach. Jesus isn't leading everyone to serve in the same ways. Jesus isn't calling all of us to do the same things or all that. But those are all additional things. Those are how we put the closets in and where we put the stoves. But the core foundation of following Christ and of building our lives upon the commands of Jesus and the words of Jesus, that is not optional. Amen? Listen, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, not optional. Giving, praying, fasting, not optional. Loving our neighbors, not optional. Not judging people, not optional. Come on, somebody. Being poor in spirit and seeking the kingdom of God above everything else, not optional. These are not additions. These are foundations. These are core things that if I want to build something that will last, then this is what I've got to do. Amen, somebody? And here's the thing about storms. Storms will reveal cracks in my foundation. Storms show up often to show me, or let me say it this way, God will use those storms in my life if I have an ear to hear where some areas are that I need to shore up the foundation, where some areas are in my life that I might be building something on a shaky foundation. And let me just say this, and I can't show you a scripture in this, but I think from anecdotal evidence and just living life, I think we can probably say that it's very possible that there may be some areas of my life that I have built on a solid foundation, and there may be other areas in my life that I have built on a sinking foundation and an unwise foundation, and God will allow the storms to come, and when the storm comes, what gets blown over, that needs to get on the right foundation. Come on, somebody. What remains is, hey, that's where I'm strong. That's where I've got it figured out, at least to some point. Amen? But storms reveal shaky parts of the foundation. Storms reveal the cracks in my foundation. And Jesus is wanting to show us what the foundation looks like. And they're not. Listen, as long as Jesus' words remain optional, my foundation will remain questionable. Amen, somebody? Say it again. As long as doing Jesus' words, putting it into practice, as long as that is optional in my life, my foundation will remain questionable. Now, no one sets out to have a trash foundation. No one intentionally builds on a garbage foundation. And I want you to note this too, because every single translation and every Luke, the Gospel of Luke shares this same parable and says it the exact same way. So you know that it stood out. You know it's something Jesus emphasized. It doesn't just say that when the storm came for the foolish builder that the house fell over and didn't last. It says that it fell with a mighty crash or a great crash or a big noise. That means this wasn't just something that happened in the middle of the night and nobody knew about it. It didn't make a difference. It means that it fell in a big way. It made a big noise. It got a lot of attention. Listen, when I build my life and I continue to build upon a shaky foundation, refusing to do what I know Jesus called me to do, refusing to take Christ's words and following Jesus seriously in my life, listen, when it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And when the thing that I'm building falls, I don't care if it's a marriage, I don't care if it's a business, I don't care if it's a church, I don't care what, insert whatever the thing is that you're spending your time building. Listen, when it falls, it will be a big failure. And if I want to experience that, and if I want to continue to experience that, guess what? Listen. If I want to ensure that my life and what I'm building is wrecked, guess what? All I have to do is nothing. Just do nothing. You want to continue to build something that you can, and you continue to build, and every time a storm comes, every time a season changes, every time the wind blows, knocks it all over, and you got to start from scratch. Your faith is destroyed. Your family's destroyed. Your business is starting over. You quit your job. You burn it all to the ground. You want to continue to do that? Listen, it's real simple. You don't have to do anything. Just do nothing. To ensure my life is wrecked by a storm, do nothing. But if I want to build something that can last, if I want to build something that can weather when the wind blows and when the seasons change and when things happen that I didn't expect, then I've got to do something. What do? We do what Jesus said do. We build our lives and live our lives and take his commands and take his words seriously and do it. Well, I believe. Okay, that's the start. Now let's get to work. Let's do it. Amen, somebody? Now, the first thing Jesus said to, if you want to get this started right, the very first thing Jesus said to do is to follow me, put your trust in me. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you're in this place this morning, you go, man, I need to get my life on a solid foundation. I'm living shaky. I've seen things come and go. I've seen too much blow over in my life. Listen, I want you to know something. If you're not a follower of Jesus today, if you've not accepted Jesus' sacrifice in your life today, if you've not given your life and asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins this morning, if you're at home right now, if you're in this building right now, I don't care, or somewhere in between, listen, if that's not a step, a real step, real moment you've made in your life, then listen to me, friend. That is the first thing that you need to do right now. That is the first step to beginning to build your life and to beginning to build your house on a foundation that will stand. Is to put your faith and your trust in Jesus. Amen? And right now, you can do that today. In fact, in just a moment, not right now, but in just a moment, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And in just a moment, I ask you to close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if that's a commitment you're going to make. Man, listen, I want to give you that opportunity today. Now, you might be fighting. You might be thinking, man, I don't know. I don't think I can do that. Listen. You might think, man, my life is too wrecked. My life is too jacked up. I've seen too many things get blown over. Listen to me. Every single person, there are people you might look at in this room that you saw worshiping earlier, and they were lifting their hands and clapping and shouting, and you look at them and you think, man, they really must have it figured out. But if you were to ask them, I bet you that they would probably say, well, I may look like I have it all figured out. And I may have figured some things out now, but there was a time that I didn't know what I was doing or where I was going or what my life was doing. It was a wreck. Amen, somebody? See, we've all been in that boat. We've all been in that place. We've all been in that position where our life was a mess. Man, I'm telling you, I'm standing here right now. And I don't think I present myself in any way that would make you think I've got it all together. I don't think I play that card. But just in case you're fooled today, I want you to know something. Whatever level I've got it together now, which is maybe by a thread, boy, there was a time my life was a wreck. And but by the grace of God, but by the faithfulness of Jesus, but by the mercy of Jesus, could I possibly imagine to have any semblance of having anything together? It's all about him. Amen, somebody? And I say, listen, no matter where you are, no matter how wrecked your life is, no matter how much the storms have blown over, no matter how much the wind has destroyed in your life, right now, man, you can begin to make the decision. Listen, you're not going to say a prayer and raise your hand and poof, all of the stuff is just going to be put back together and fixed. It doesn't work like that, but it is the first step to saying, hey, I'm going to build on the right foundation. And the first step, the first brick, the first rock, the first stone, the first little drop of concrete for that foundation is a relationship with Jesus. Would you stand me all over this room right now? Would you just, for a moment, just close your eyes? That's just to give yourself a moment to kind of allow for an opportunity of self-reflection. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And if you're in this place today, when I say in this place, that means in this building, and that means online, whatever time of day or day of the week that you're with us this morning. If you're in this moment, wherever that moment finds you, and today, you say, I want to get back on the right foundation. I want to start. I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to follow Him. I want to begin to put His words into practice. And I need to start with putting my trust in Him. I want you to know something, friend. Listen, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived a perfect life that we are all commanded to live by Scripture. Died a death that, according to Scripture, we all deserve to die. Gave His life up on a cross, poured His blood out on the ground, died. And He did that for you and me. And He didn't do that because He's angry. He didn't do that begrudgingly. He didn't do that because He's mad. He did that because He loves each and every one of us that have ever drawn breath on this earth. And He invites each and every one of us to receive the sacrifice that He gave. But it didn't end with the sacrifice. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. And right now, He's seated in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. And if you feel a tug on your heart, if you feel something inside of you saying, man, I need to receive that. I need to make that step. I need to follow Jesus today. Guess what? That is Jesus reaching down to you from heaven, knocking on the door of your heart, saying, friend, let me in. Let's get this thing started right. Let's start to build your life on the right foundation. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I am going to ask you to raise your hand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Say, man, I need to make that decision right now. This is, listen, don't forget about who's around you. Forget about any of those things. Please don't miss the will of God for your life. Don't miss heaven. Don't miss a relationship with Jesus. Don't miss starting your life out, building on the right foundation. Because of any care of anyone else around you, man, nobody can make this decision for you. Nobody can make this prayer for you. Nobody can say yes for you. Doesn't matter what your mom did. Doesn't matter what your dad did. Doesn't matter what your grandma and grandpa did. They may be great people, Jesus-loving people. Listen, but I've got to make this as a personal relationship that I've got to make the step to take. No one can do it for me. Don't let anyone keep you from it. Right now, if you say, man, I want to follow Jesus. I want to become a follower of Jesus today. I want to receive what you're talking about. The sacrifice He gave for my life. Will you just right now lift up your hand all over this building right now. Amen. Amen. I see a couple hands up in here. You might be online today. Say, man, that's for me. I want to do that. Put that raised hand emoji in the comment section. Or just right there, type, man, I'm going to pray that prayer. In just a moment, I'm going to ask everyone in this room to pray out loud so that you can hear it with your own ears. Everyone, if you're at home, in the car, wherever you are, pray this too. Pray with us right now. As soon as we're done praying, I want everyone to go to redlifechurch.com. Everyone that prayed that prayer, you raised your hand. You're online, you raise your hand. Go to redlifechurch.com right in the middle of the page. It says, say yes to Jesus. Did you ready to say yes to Jesus? Right there. It looks just like that. It's on the screen. You can take a look at that. Follow those instructions, man. We want to help you. We want to be there for you. We want to start this journey off with you, man. We're not here just to pray a prayer, leave you alone. We are here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, man. We can be available. We can make this happen. We're here to walk this thing out with you. Let's pray right now. Everyone in this room out loud so you can hear with your own ears. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And so I ask you right now to forgive me of my sins. Take all of my life, my past, my present, and my future. I give it to you. Holy Spirit, help me to follow Jesus from this moment on for the rest of my life. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me, thank you for becoming my king. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Spirit, make this moment real. Make that prayer real. Begin the work of transformation in our hearts that go beyond just a simple prayer. By the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, in this room, beyond these walls, wherever we are right now, pray, God, begin that transformational work. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will bear witness with our spirit, like your word says you will do in Romans 8. Let us know that we are becoming and that we have become sons and daughters of God right now, in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, that you will enable, anoint, and empower us right now to begin to live this truth, to begin to live for you, begin to follow you with everything that we have. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Now listen. Some of you're believers, you're on your way to heaven, you know you're saved, you're following Jesus. That's not in question here this morning. And man, thank God for that. But I do believe that there may be some of us today that the Holy Spirit is convicting. And today is not a day about new belief. What the Holy Spirit is saying is that today is a day for you to do something. There may be something you've been stubborn on, something you've been just, the Lord's been dealing with you about. Here's how you know the Lord's dealing with you about something is this. It's every time you read the Bible, you hear it, you see it. Every time a preacher preaches, that's the message he's preaching. It doesn't matter what he's preaching. Let's just an example. And I hate to give specific examples on stuff like this because I don't want you to think, because I'm not saying your thing, that means you're off the hook. This is just one example. But like, let's say the Lord's dealing with you about some kind of addiction in your life that you can't get a hold of. I could be preaching on giving. And the Holy Spirit, what you'll hear is about your addiction. Every time you open the Bible, you get convicted. That's how you know God is talking to you. And for some of you, maybe God has been talking to you about something. It may not be an addiction. It may be about something big, maybe about something small, maybe about forgiving your neighbor, maybe about inviting someone to church. I don't care what it is. If there's something you've been stubborn on, listen. It's today's the day where Jesus say, listen, you want a foundation that's gonna last? Take my word seriously. Do what I'm leading you to do. Do what I'm saying do. Amen? And listen, when we do that, this is what we're gonna close with this morning. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 25. I love this scripture. It says, when the storms of life come, the wicked are whirled away, but the godly have a lasting foundation. The godly have a lasting foundation. In Jesus' name, I'm going to be a part of that number. Amen, somebody. In Jesus' name, I'm going to be a part of the godly that have a lasting foundation. Come on, somebody. I believe that's God's will for me. I declare in Jesus' name it is God's will for you. How many are determined? That's where we're going to be. Amen. Come on, put your hand. Let me hear you right now. That's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be part of the godly that have a lasting foundation in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is truth, that it is life. I pray that, God, your word would be exactly that and do exactly that for us today. Lead us in all truth. Breathe fresh life into us. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that you are making us a part of the godly that have a lasting foundation. It doesn't matter what storm comes. It doesn't matter what wind blows. We are built upon the solid rock. Jesus, that is you. Continue to build our life upon that rock in Jesus' name. Stretch your hands this way. Let's receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, are you thankful for Jesus this morning? Come on, are you thankful for his word today? Come on, let's lift up our voice and let's worship these altars.